Soundstripe.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to That's Relatable. My name is Brooke, and I am here to just kind of give you encouragement and talk about things that are maybe troubling us or things that we go through or just stresses in life that we kind of deal with. And so buckle up. We're back for another one. We are going on to a new topic called, well, I'm calling love is correctional. Love is correctional. And that is a hot topic, in my opinion, these days. As a teacher, a high school teacher, for sure, I see this sort of topic pop up in my brain. And I mean, also as a parent and just as someone who has, you know, obviously I have my husband and friends and, you know, any kind of relationship is kind of what I want to talk about right now. It's not just like a romantic one, but any sort of relationship where love is correctional. And I mean, I'm just going to jump on in. Like, if you think about love nowadays, and again, not necessarily in a romantic way, yes, maybe, but in any sort of relationship, love seems to be more of like a, like, I don't know, it's very conditional. Instead of having unconditional love, like everyone always talks about, it seems like it's very conditional these days. And the way that we define how we are loved by others stems off of a few, like, in my head anyways, a few of our own personal desires. So for example, if you think about how people are portraying love these days or how they're, I guess, identifying whether or not they're being loved is based off of warm, fuzzy feelings, right? Feelings first and foremost, like, ooh, do I have butterflies? If you're talking in terms of romantic relationships, or does this person bring me joy? Does this person make me laugh? Is this person fun to be around? You know, so those kind of warm, fuzzy feelings, right? So that's one thing that we kind of look up or look at as a way to determine if we're being loved. We also look at, you know, do we share, like the same, I don't know, views? Do we have a lot of similarities? Do we agree with the same things, right? Do we have a lot in common? And then the last thing that I just kind of wrote down here was a lot of times, maybe without even recognizing it, we're selfish. Like, what does this person bring to me? What does this person do for me? And truth be told, I feel like all of those categories have like a purpose and a right and like are a part of a loving relationship. Yes. But those are not like the sole, like, I don't even know. I can't think of the word. It's not like those are the sole defining things of whether or not you are in a loving relationship with anybody. And so that's where I am like focusing on today. We have such a freaking victimizing mentality in society, this like in this day and age, in this generation, whatever you want to say. I see it all the stinking time as a high school teacher. Not only that, but like on social media in general. So people who are my age or maybe even older than me, right? We have created like this crazy breeding ground for like a victimizing mentality of, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, or if you don't like what I'm saying, you must not love me. We aren't friends. Don't talk to me kind of thing. And that is hands down like my biggest pet peeve right now. And I guess I got to kind of backtrack and kind of just think of a few examples. So like I said, a few times now, I'm a high school teacher. And so I have had this happen so many times. Now, side note, let me go on a little rant here, because when people become teachers, it is not, okay, I should speak for myself. It's not just because, oh, I love math so much. I want to talk about numbers all day long. Like, let me tell you, that ain't it. I became a teacher because I love the students and I want to create like, I don't know, I want to impact them in a positive way. And so it's not just like teachers are out to like harp on kids and beat them down. And I think that alone has become such like a misconception between students and teachers. It's like we're supposed to be against each other when really teachers go into that field because they want to love on kids and help them grow and help encourage them and whatnot. And so this is the most frustrating thing to me, because when I have to correct a student in any way, whether it be just like simple assignments or homework or whatever, or behavioral wise, or maybe they are venting to me, like I get this quite a bit where students will come to me and they'll vent about something that's going on in their lives. And I love that part of my job because it shows me that, yeah, we do have a relationship and they trust me, and you know, all the fun stuff that comes with being a teacher. But there are times where I have to, as the adult, you know, and the teacher and whatever in the room, I have to insert my opinion, and sometimes it's not what they want to hear. And I actually just had this happen just recently with a student, and it wasn't a big issue at all, but it was something as simple as like, oh, she had her phone out. Okay, so put your phone away. Oh, well, I didn't do anything wrong. What? Why do I need to put my phone away? Why are you? Well, guess what? Because the rule is to not have your phone out. I'm not yelling at you. It's not because I hate you. It's not a disagreement that I don't like you. And, you know, that's kind of how this is spiraling when we talk about in terms of love, in my opinion anyway. The second you disagree with someone, you automatically hate them. And can we just take a second to just even talk about politics, right? Thank God the election's over. We obviously all have our own views, and that's fine, but man, you look on Facebook, for example, what a freaking schlosh kebab of just like, just a mess of victimized mentalities and yelling and, oh, you disagree with me. How stupid are you? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it is out of my mind. Like, I can't even understand how full-blown adults are having conversation on Facebook in front of tons of people, by the way. Anybody can read this, especially if it's a public thread. And just kind of going on and on and on, disagreeing. Oh, you're so stupid. How do you believe this? Blah, blah. Like, it is wildly embarrassing. Like, I get secondhand embarrassment for people I don't even know. But the issue is, like, the second you have someone from the far left disagree with someone from the far right, like, oh, we hate each other. We can't get along, blah, blah. Guys, listen to yourselves. It sounds so wildly immature and stupid to even use that as a reason to not love someone and not get along with them. I can tell you right now, one of my best guy friends has completely different views on a lot of things from me. Completely different views. And guess what? We just don't do. Talk about our views when we're together, because we're adults, and I can respect the fact that nothing I say is going to impact the way that he thinks, or it's not going to change his mind. And he can respect the fact that nothing he says is going to make me budge on my opinions. And we kind of have that common ground of just like, we're bros. We don't need to talk about it. Cool. Let's just enjoy each other's company. And I think that's such a huge concept that so many of us miss out on. So that's one thing I want to talk about, as far as just being able to put our differences aside and to love each other, even though we might have those differences. So an example of that is, what was it, like, probably close to a month ago or so, Mike and I were sitting down, and I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but there's this documentary, I think it's considered a documentary anyways, called What is a Woman? And I'm going to tread very lightly on this topic because I just am, but basically it's just a documentary or a movie, with Matt Walsh, I think is his name. And he just goes through a bunch of different towns, talks to a bunch of different people. And he's, just looking for someone to give him a definition on what a woman is. And so he's talking to, you know, people in general. He talked to a few transgender people on there. And that's what the whole thing's about. It's a transgenderism kind of documentary movie, whatever. He talks to like psychologists and surgeons and just random people off the street. And he goes from New York to like random little towns in Oklahoma or something. Like, he's just all over the place. And I'm going to be completely honest with you and say that when I was watching this, my husband and I, like, dude, I was fuming. Like, it just, like, it didn't even make sense to me, some of the things that were being said from either side. I'm not going to obviously disclose that, but in my head, I was like, these people are so freaking stupid. How does this even make sense? And then I was like humbled in an instant, because I swear to you, like, in the middle of watching this documentary, like, I really just felt like God was talking to me, and he's like, guess what? I died for them. Like, don't talk about them like that. I died for them. Oof! You want to talk about being humbled real quick, like. And so it just kind of put it was just a smack in my face that I needed in that moment, because this whole thing, like I'm talking about how love is correctional and how if you disagree with someone, you must hate them or they must hate you and blah, blah, blah. And like there I was falling to that exact thing. Like, oh, I disagree with this person. I can't stand them. They wouldn't like me. Like, oh, you know, that whole thing. And truly in that moment, I felt God be like, you know, I died for them. So chill. And maybe what they're doing would not be biblically correct, I guess. It was still just a wake up call to me that like we are told to love everyone, right? Like we are meant to love others and love on them even if we don't necessarily agree with them. And I'm going way off topic. This is not even what I wanted to touch on in this episode, but here we are. So it's going to happen, I guess. But the thing is, like, for us to love others for us to disagree with others does not dictate the love that we have for them. So I'm going to steer over to what I was actually trying to talk about, like this idea of if you disagree with someone, you must hate them. Well, no. Or if you're trying to correct them, you must not like them. No. Think of it from like a parent perspective. Now that I'm a parent, I can fully like say this because I live it out like every day. If my kid is sitting there, one of my two kids is trying to go up and, I don't know, like play with the stove or do something dangerous, play with the stove, trying to mess with the gas light, whatever, I'm going to probably go over there and yell at them and smack their little hand and say, no, don't touch. That could be ouchy. That's bad. That's not good. You don't hit that. You don't touch that. And in that moment, would they just think, oh, mom hates me because she just told me not to do something? Like, no, it's the exact opposite. Where is what is my reasoning for wanting to correct them in that moment? Well, it's to keep them safe, right? It's to watch over them, to keep them safe and healthy. And so I think that is such a simple and basic analogy, but it's so true when you look at any sort of relation or relationship in terms of love being correctional. It's not stemming from a place, or if you are with a genuine good person, it's not ever going to be stemming from a place of just wanting to hate on you and wanting to just pick on you and just belittle you. Yeah, you're right. That's not love. But when it's coming from a place of care and love and just looking out for someone, like we have to be able to realize that not everyone who disagrees with us hates us. And not everyone who disagrees with us doesn't want us to do well. In fact, a lot of times it's the complete opposite. A lot of times you're being corrected or someone's correcting us because they want us to grow, right? And so I think when we look at that example, and even like my students, well, why can't I have my phone out? It's not hurting you. Well, just maybe because it's a rule. And guess what? When you get out of high school and you have to go into society, whether it's the workforce, a college, or whatever, there are rules and they're not going to be so nice about it. And so in that moment, am I the bad guy because I make you put your phone away? Sure, call me the bad guy. Don't care. But what's really going to happen is I'm hopefully preparing you and training you for what's to come later on in life when you have to go into society and perform like an actual adult. And so I guess my biggest question is, why do we get so offended then? Why do we automatically switch that thought in our head saying, oh, we're not loved. Oh, they don't like us because they don't agree with us. Well, no, maybe it's because they have genuine care for you. And maybe they're not just out there trying to prove a point just to be brat and because they want to pick fights. And trust me, there are tons of people like that. Like, obviously, I'm not naive to the fact that there are some people out there who like to disagree with you just for the sake of disagreeing with you. And let me tell you, they've got bigger fish to fry. Okay, it's not you, it's them. Truthfully, though. But when we're looking at correctional love, it's a love that wants to see you grow. It's a love that wants to see you do well in the future. And I think so many times we confuse that with just, oh, they don't like us. They don't want to be around us. And so I guess where I'm going with this is just the question of next time, or not the question, but maybe a challenge of like, next time someone disagrees with you and you feel offended or you feel like put off by it or just like upset by it, I guess my question would be to you is why? Can you actually like look internally and introspectively and ask yourself, why did that offend me so bad? Why did that upset me so bad? Maybe there's an inkling in you that actually thinks that you were wrong too. Maybe there's part of you that knows that whatever you said or did or whatever, it was valid for them to correct. And a lot of times, like, I'm thinking from my perspective, because let's, again, be clear, like, I deal with this too, for sure. Like, I have to actively, like, in my head sometimes, put aside my personal feelings and just recognize that maybe this person isn't out to get me. Maybe they're not mean and cranky and whatever. Maybe they genuinely are trying to help me grow to become a better person, mom, wife, teacher, whatever. And so that's my challenge, is why does it bother us so badly when someone disagrees with us? Personally speaking, I'm going to tell you right now, it's my ego. And it's my pride. And that forever, I'm finding out, is just probably something I'm going to have to deal with. Like, you guys see the little cartoons where, I don't know why, I know there's tons of cartoons, but for some reason, I always think of Emperor's New Groove. And I don't remember the guy's name. I think it's like Gronk or Kronk or something like that. But I just remember he has like a little devil on one shoulder and a little angel on the other. And that is such a basic, like, kid's view of, like, your internal battles, but it's so true. It's like the flesh in me, like the human side of me, always wants to do whatever the godly side of me doesn't want me to do, right? And so, like, in the terms of being, like, egotistical, well, if you disagree with me, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? That's where my mind goes. And then the little angel on my shoulder has to be like, whoa, 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 time out. You're not all that in a bag of chips. You got to chill. And that is forever going to be maybe the thing I struggle with. I don't know. What can I say? I got a little attitude. It's not a flex. It's just something I have to work on. But truly, is that what sets us off so much when people disagree with us? Is it because we have an ego and a pride issue in this whole generation, this whole country? Maybe. Because you guess what? Or guess what? We're always right. It's always us who's right. We never have to look at ourselves and say, ooh, crap, maybe I messed up. We are the worst of looking at ourselves introspectively and saying, oh, crap, did I mess up? Maybe I'm wrong. We're so bad at it. Again, we just saw on the election, no one can budge on their views because we're always the right ones. Maybe it's time to do an internal evaluation of ourselves, myself included, and really see, well, where are these strong opinions coming from? Where are these victimizing mentalities coming from? Is it because we're just like thirsty for love? We just want to people please, and we just want people to love us so badly that the second they don't, we're just offended? Is that our go-to now because we're just so hungry for love? Or are we stubborn and egotistical and proud and just don't like to be told we're wrong? I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But I think it's wildly important that we are honest with ourselves and we address it and we clean it up then. And so that's the nice thing about being able to look introspectively and to evaluate ourselves, is we get the opportunity then to fix it and correct it. Do I have such strong opinions because someone in my past hurt my feelings so badly that now it changed me forever? Is it because one person messed up everything else in my life and that now I have to hold a grudge against them forever? A lot of times, yeah. A lot of times people have had such rough experiences in the past and, you know, they carry that with them forever, that you only have one, I don't know, you only have one perception of an opinion because you've seen it play out so harshly in your own lives. And if that's your case, I'm so sorry. Truly, it's, I've learned from teaching, again, back to this, is like, there are so many people just within my small community who have gone through so much more than I've ever even realized. And I'm sure this has always been a thing as a student. I just was so naive to it when I was going through high school. I had no idea that people were carrying around such heavy burdens as I know some of my students are. And not just my students, but their families too. Like, there's heavy stuff going on around you that you probably don't even know about. Someone next to you might be going through something wildly difficult, and it is tainting their view of everything else in life. And a lot of times that's where this issue of feeling offended and unloved comes from. It's because we're so just traumatized and just disgusted by whatever happened to us in the past by, again, typically like one person ruined it for you. Well, it's time to go back through and maybe heal that part of us so that we can actually go on with our lives, being willing to grow, being willing to make those corrections so that we can see improvements in ourselves. Because guys, let's be honest, if we're not correcting ourselves, we're staying stagnant. And if you're not living, you're dying, right? If you're not growing, you're dying. And so what's the point of being stagnant and stubborn and stuck? Our pride? Our ego? Does that sound right to anyone? Like, truly, is that like, oh yeah, that sounds good. I want to live there. Like, no one wants that. Isn't the whole point of life to grow and develop and to become better, a better version of ourselves? And if you're a Christian, and hopefully you are, like, I want you guys to be, again, not because I want to be right in this battle of religion or not. It's because I care for you and I love you. And even though I don't know who you are, like, I know how good your life could be with Jesus. And so if that's you, I'm losing my train of thought. I don't even know. It's kind of gone. But like, maybe that's the whole purpose, is to grow and to become more like Jesus and to identify the things in our lives that have hurt us. Or even if you're not a Christian, things that have held you back from pursuing further dreams of yours or moving forward, right? Who wants to carry those burdens and those weights of just whatever has happened to you in the past? Who wants to carry that with you for so long? And here's the other thing. When we don't accept that love is correctional, you know what? Sometimes that prevents us from actually, whether it's romantical or not, I'm going to use a romantic example, but sometimes that prevents us from actually finding our true person who would love us right, who would be the best person for us. It prevents us from finding them because the second they want to correct us or help us better ourselves, the second that we're like, nope, 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 nope. You don't tell me what to do. I do me, right? This is the do me generation. We want to, nope, I'm going to do me. You do you, whatever. Okay, well, no. Again, just that in itself is such a stronghold on some people who can't get past it, that now it's preventing you from really, really good things in your life. Maybe it's there and it's working against you because on the other side of it would be something so good for you. And so again, I'm going to use it in terms of Christianity. Like, maybe Satan wants to hold that over your head for as long as humanly possible, because if you get over it and if you move past it and if you learn to correct yourselves and if you learn to be okay and happy and actually encouraged by correctional love, maybe something really awesome would happen with you on the other side. But instead, he's going to hold you where you're at right now so you don't grow. That's the whole thing. If you're not growing, you're dying, right? And so I really hope that this can just open up some eyes and ears for people. I don't know. I'm going to go and just kind of end this with a few examples of when Jesus is correctional in the Bible, and how obviously he came as God himself, right? And he loves us so much, and he died on the cross for us. And if you know about Christianity at all, you know that that's like the basics of our beliefs, right? Is that Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins so that we may have eternity with God, right? He paid our sins, the debt of our sins, so that we can spend forever with them. And so that in itself is love, right? But then you look at his time here when Jesus was on earth, and you know how much of what he was doing was correctional. He came as an example of how we should live our lives. Isn't that correctional in itself? Hey, follow what I'm doing. I'm going to show you the ways to do it. It's not that I'm just perfect and I want to make you feel, I mean, he is perfect, but it's not that he was saying like, I want to belittle you, make you feel dumb and condemn you and make you feel horrible about yourself. You're supposed to be living like me. It wasn't like that at all. It was all stemming from a place of love. Like, hey, let me help you. Let me show you the way that we should be living so that you can grow and you can flourish and you can know me and we can grow together, you know? And so if you look at anything he does, gosh, I have a ton of examples and I'm not going to be able to read through them all. But, whoa, excuse me. But even if you look at like, oh goodness, do we want to talk about the lady caught in adultery, right? There's this woman who's caught in the act of adultery, brought to Jesus, and the crowd wants to stone her. They're basically like, yeah, she sucks. She's an adulteress, blah, blah, blah. And he goes and he says to the crowd, he says that, he says, let the one without sin throw the first stone. So basically putting the crowd in their place, saying, don't you act like you're perfect. That's correctional right there, right? Don't you act like you're without sin, because we all are sinful, right? So he puts them in their place and says, So same kind of thing for me, honestly. Like, this was a the same thing that kind of happened to me as I'm watching that documentary, What is a Woman, right? I'm sitting there, oh my gosh, this is so stupid. They're so wrong for this, blah, 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 blah. Boom, smacks me in the face with, easy now, I died for them. And just because I disagree with things that are being said does not mean that they're too far out of his reach and they're too far gone and they're not good enough now. You know what? If we know anything about Jesus, we know he can do some pretty stinking awesome things in a short amount of time. And so, again, that's kind of like what we see him do here with this crowd is he says, let the one without sin throw the first stone. Uh-uh. Hold on a second, guys. You're not going to start stoning her when you're not perfect either. And then let's see what else he does. I have another good example that I liked. If I can find it. Oh, man. Oh, this is a good one too. Jesus and Martha. So Martha is basically preparing her home. Jesus comes and he stops in with a bunch of the disciples. She wants to clean. She's trying to make it perfect, making a perfect dinner, keeping it nice and clean, whatever. While her sister Mary is kind of ignoring the whole mess. And she goes and she sits at the feet of Jesus and she's just listening to him. And so Martha gets mad at Mary. Ooh, this is the cliff notes. Martha gets mad at Mary. She basically goes to Jesus and is like, dude, she's not helping me. What the heck? This is annoying. And he basically tells Martha, hey, calm down. She's at my feet and she's listening to me. She has chosen what's better. Okay. So again, love is correctional. Maybe you shouldn't be panicking about the way the house looks and the fact that the meal's not done. Maybe you should just be over here with me and in soaking in this time with me. And so again, we see another example of love being correctional. Guys, there's so many. And if I take this time to just sit and read all these different examples of him being correctional, we'll be here all night. And if you want more examples, just message me and I will shoot you the draft that I have right here because I have a bunch of it typed out. But really, we have to get past this idea that when people disagree with us, it means they don't love us. In fact, sometimes it means they love us the most. Sometimes they love you too much to let you stay where you're at, stuck and stagnant and not improving. And so, whew, I feel like I just talked 5,000 miles a minute and I'm going to close it off right there. But again, I just want to leave you guys with a little challenge, if you will, something that you could think about the next time someone disagrees with you and you feel annoyed or maybe mad or maybe you feel like, oh crap, they don't like me now. Cool. Where does that stem from? I really want you to try and look internally and think, where does that stem from? Is it a place of people pleasing? Because that ain't it. We're not here to people please. We're not here to try and be everybody else's little puppet and just make everyone else happy while we're being tortured, right? We're not people pleasing. What else could it be? It could be ego. It could be just stubbornness. It could be your past traumas, things that you've gone through, things that have warped your views on other people, right? And so I guess, yeah, that'd be my little challenge for you guys is to look internally, think about what might be making you feel that type of way, and then address it. Go straight through it. Fix it. Don't let it sit there and ruin everything else that's in store for you. Address it head on. Fix it and overcome it so you can grow and so you can no longer be stagnant and stuck, okay? I guess the last thing that I'll leave you with is the little statement I saw, and I just liked it. I just did a quick little Google search, and it says, love that corrects is love that wants you to grow. And again, I think that's just an important piece of a relationship, whether it's romantic, whether it's friendly, whether it's a parent to daughter, son, whatever, you know, whatever kind of relationship. I think that's a really important piece of the puzzle. Is it a constant kind of condemning and correction, not correcting, but like scolding and belittling? Absolutely not. Of course, there's those warm, fuzzy feelings and laughter and similarities and joy, right? Those are all crucial parts to a relationship too. But don't be fooled by social media and by this generation and our thoughts in general, how we are just so victimizing and, you know, whatever, poor us. Oh, they don't agree with us. Get over it, right? Don't be held captive by those thoughts. It's not true. People don't like to show off on social media the difficult parts of their relationship, right? So you're not typically seen when they're being corrected or when they're going through something and when they're going through those growing pains, right? So just keep that in mind and be encouraged that, you know what, disagreements does not mean hate. And a lot of times it actually does mean love. Oh, guys. I think I'm done. I'm going to end it right there. If you guys stuck around for this whole thing, thank you for listening. I love you guys so much. Truly, this has been so much fun for me to do. I took a little hiatus. I have a ton more to come, and I'm really stinking excited for what's to come. So thank you guys for hanging out. We will do this again another time. I love you guys to pieces. See you later.